Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a warm welcome from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. It's great to have you worshipping with us. Today I'm going to be the preacher as we mark the third Sunday in Lent and continue with our sermon series, Rising to the Call, Seven Big Questions, as we think about discipleship in general and issues of justice, particularly climate justice. Today we're going to consider how we point fingers of blame and do not admit to our own responsibility for wrongdoing. As we ponder our third big question, how many chances do you get? And may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you. Will you please join me in our call to worship? Your parts are going to be on the screen in white. The cry of injustice calls us to follow Jesus to the pain of the cross as we prepare to celebrate Christ's rising from death. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Jesus showed us grace and mercy. We come seeking your forgiveness and renewal. Together we seek to follow your path to justice, rising to the call and demands of discipleship. So as we continue this Lenten journey, let's place our trust in our merciful and faithful God as we sing our opening hymn, number 51, Great is thy faithfulness, thy compassions they fail not. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Great.
Let us come before God now in prayer. God of mercy, you have shown yourself to be a God of infinite patience, a God who bears no grudge, a God who weeps over pain and suffering, and a God who shows the power of love by sharing our pain. As we feel shame at the way we are quick to deny responsibility for the injustices of the world, swift to point the finger of blame elsewhere, and slow to forgive, we ask for your forgiveness and your renewal. Rather than prepare for uncertain challenges ahead, we prefer to enjoy the present, then lament the loss of lives, homes, and hope in the face of flood, fire, or drought. Rather than tend what may yet give life, we root out, rip up, and discard, and in our consuming, we find little peace. Rather than caring for our neighbours near and far and seeking out justice, we hang on to our power and hoard rather than give. Forgive us and turn our hearts towards repentance. May we learn how to become more like you in all that we do and say. In your power, may we encourage and support each other to follow your example. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. As we approach the darkness surrounding the events at the cross, we're extinguishing one candle on each of the six Sundays in Lent, leaving us with the Christ candle that will be put out on Good Friday.
The cry of injustice calls us to follow Jesus to the pain of the cross. A little of the light which has come into the world is snuffed out when we fail to seek or offer forgiveness. O God of grace, on this Lenten journey, guide us towards the darkness of the cross, emboldening us to rise to the call of each new challenge placed before us, as we trust in your promises, revealing the power of transformation and the hope of resurrection.
Amen. Our scripture today is being read by Robin Patterson, and he's a steward at Seton Road Methodist Church, which is now a part of the group of churches that we know as the Felixstowe Peninsula Methodist Churches. And Robin also serves on the Felixstowe Peninsula Climate Emergency Group.
Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. If it bear fruits next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Thanks be to God for his word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our Lent sermon series is called Rising to the Call, as we think about what it means to become the disciples that Jesus is calling us to rise and to be. Lent's a time of self-examination as we look at our priorities and our need for change and for God's mercy in our lives. This year, we're thinking about seven big questions as we contemplate issues of justice and particularly climate justice. And sometimes, as illustrated by the rock, we have to go down to the depths in order to climb up again. So we began 2 weeks ago with our first big question: how do we resist the easy option? As we heard about Jesus' 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Jesus' responses to those temptations underscored his faithfulness to God. And he did not take the easy option. Jesus did not exploit his status and power to satisfy his own needs and desires. As disciples of Jesus, it's so easy for us to choose the easy option. As we think about the work we're called to do for climate justice and any form of social justice where the solutions are complicated, it's easy just to throw up our hands and say there's nothing we can do, or to pick out the simpler tasks that fit easily into our lives and hardly inconvenience others. It's important that we do something. And when tasks seem daunting, the first step might well be to take some small actions. But that should not be the only step that we take. Many of the things that we need to do to combat global warming and climate change will involve governments and big industry making many changes. And as they do so, it will take us changing our attitudes. It will take advocacy. It will take changes of habits. It will mean doing some things in less convenient ways. It'll mean abstaining from some things and investing in others. It will involve not just the easy option. Last week, David Wellborn helped us to ponder the second big question: who do we listen to? Jesus had to decide whether to listen to the voices telling him not to go to Jerusalem. We need to follow the path trodden by Jesus. We must be careful ourselves to listen to the voices that protect the vulnerable and the marginalised, and in turn speak truth to power. We need to seek the way that denies self, the way that puts the future of creation above possessions or riches or pleasures, the way that puts compassion above commerce, mercy above money, fairness above fortune, integrity above interest, sincerity above status. We listen to those we know who speak the truth because we see those values in what they speak and in what they do and in the way that they do it. And for the climate, it means not getting caught up in conspiracy theories and listening to the voices that are genuinely committed to climate justice. Now, if you miss those sermons, you can catch up with them on our website. So today's big question is, how many chances do you get? Our scripture today is not how a song that is well known in the United States goes, by Will Thompson, "Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling." This today is Jesus calling us loudly and pointedly. Our scripture passage started with some people coming to Jesus and asking him about two recent events. One of an incident of state-sanctioned terror, and the other one a random accident. Now, Luke's the only gospel where these events get a mention, and we don't have many details. But the first event was some deaths among the Galileans. We're not told much, but the assumption is that the Galileans died at the temple in Jerusalem while they were offering a sacrifice. And it was the Romans, the occupiers, who came into their sacred space and killed them. I'm sure, as I tell this story right now, we all have pictures of the Russian invasion of Ukraine in our minds, and the deaths of so many, together with all the war refugees, weighing on our hearts. Now, in the Old Testament, it was thought that obedience to the Torah, the law, brought blessings, and disobedience brought a curse. Pain and affliction were thought to be punishments from God for committing a sin. But what did those Galilean men who died so tragically do wrong? And what did those who've been shot and bombed in Ukraine do wrong? Well, I imagine that those who are telling this story about the Galileans are angry and upset at the deaths, just as we are about the war in Ukraine. So how is Jesus going to respond? How do you think they want him to respond? Is Jesus going to get upset with the Romans and their cruelty? Is he going to suggest some retribution? Well, Jesus doesn't engage with those ideas. Instead, Jesus asks them whether those who died were any more sinful than any other Galileans. And then Jesus mentions that there were 18 innocent people killed when a tower fell on them at Siloam. Were those who died any worse than those who escaped the falling tower? What about those in England who were killed in Storm Eunice, a storm caused by global warming and changing weather patterns? What about the climate refugees who've escaped homes that are underwater, or homes destroyed by extreme fires, or whose water supply has dried up? Are they any worse than others who are not affected? Jesus challenges the people's views on suffering. A person's righteousness, or lack of it, has nothing to do with the evil that befalls them. However, he says there's a need for repentance. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did. So why do we need to repent? It won't save us from dying. Jesus has just told us they didn't die because of their sins. We need to repent, because salvation is not about dying. It's about living and how we live. To repent or to be contrite for our past conduct or attitudes will lead us to encounter life, God, and our purpose in a new way, in a truer way. Repentance is to be jolted into discovering a different reality. And since our lives are short and we never know when death may come, there's an urgency to this need for repentance. Many communities face similar disasters to those that Jesus points to. Today, for example, we see areas such as Fijian villages underwater due to climate change, and South Asia and the sub-Saharan Africa are facing farmland becoming substantially drier. The most severe climate damage is falling on those who did not create the problem. Those in the richer countries who created the problem often get away scot-free. Part of our repentance and discovery of new life is an awareness of how we have contributed to climate change. The Industrial Revolution that began in the United Kingdom is recognised as the starting point for climate change. We might like to think that we personally bear no responsibility, but we owe much of our economic prosperity and global voice to the benefits that have followed from that early leadership. We're heirs of that legacy and must accept responsibility for its negative consequences, as well as credit for the good. The pattern of plundering the Earth's resources without second thought that began in the Industrial Revolution still continues unabated. So we are called to repent and change. And it's urgent, or we will all perish. And Jesus then goes on to tell the story, a parable, about the fig tree, that essentially asks us how we intend to live. Do we want to be one of those who simply takes up space? One of those who's a waste of dirt? Or do we want to be one who produces fruit? Cultivated fig trees are supposed to produce fruit. It's why a landowner would plant them. Their fruit provides sustenance and vitality to others. And 3 years should have been long enough for the fig tree to produce fruit. The logical course of action is for the landowner to pull the tree up and get rid of it so it doesn't use up space and valuable resources. But the landowner agrees that the gardener can dig around the fig tree and fertilise it for another year. The fig tree is given another chance to provide sustenance and vitality to others. The landowner, with the gardener's help, is prepared to patiently wait for the tree to produce fruit. So the good news is that it's never too late for us to change our ways or to try something else. God's always willing to give us another chance to repent, a chance to live in a new way and produce some fruit. Except there is an urgency. There is time, but barely, for God's people to change their lives and perhaps the course of history. There's a brief window of opportunity to respond to God's grace. How brief? Well, Let's not take the year literally because it is a parable. But with climate change in particular, time is running out. The later we wait before taking any meaningful action, the harder the task will be. The gardener cannot control the sun, the rain, or the wind. Even when we repent and have been forgiven, we still have to live with the consequences of our past behaviour. Some things are not undoable. We cannot afford to procrastinate any longer. But Jesus is going to be there with the fertiliser, doing his best to nourish us and taking positive steps to improve the likelihood of our success. David Wellborn has been instrumental in getting our circuit looking at climate justice because of the revelations that he's experienced over a number of years. So I invited him to join me now. So David, you've seen a turnaround in your life over the years of doing different things. I know you started at one point monitoring your electric consumption, but what else have you been doing?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to my early days as a researcher and technologist, and always been interested in new technologies, and started making changes like spending on LEDs instead of ordinary light bulbs, very expensive, very inefficient, but just playing with them and enjoying the idea of encouraging new technologies. And as time has gone on, I've discovered more and more that the reasons behind making decisions like that are much more important for the environment than they were for just playing with technology. And so almost serendipity that I found myself doing some good things by accident. We got a whole lot of data about how much we spend, and so I analysed that to find out the energy consumption, and lots of different steps over a 10-15 year period, gradually reducing our energy consumption because it felt like a good thing to do. Only now, recently, much more recently, to discover how important it is. But what I've learned is how to do that research and make the decisions. Every single decision you take can have an environmental impact in it, be it about investment or anything else. So what I've learnt more and more is to spend that time doing the research and making wiser choices. Don't always get them right, but I'm sure I've made some wrong choices along the way. But I'm constantly learning new things about and asking myself questions about what do we need to do to support the environment more. What have you been doing, Joan?
Well, I'm slower on this journey than you are. I started on this one a bit later than you. Certainly last autumn was inspiring to me and the work we were doing leading up to COP26. About 9 weeks of 9 different topics to learn about. I learned a lot, and we were reading, in a study group, reading a book at the same time. And so learning a lot. And one of those things was to do with coal and oil and things in terms of fueling our cars and our homes, and the need for solar and wind power, but not just the need for it, but also how we need to cut down our overall consumption, how we need to not drive our cars everywhere. So I've been trying to catch the bus much more into Ipswich at least, and travel by public transport. We do still own 2 petrol driven cars, but the focus in the future, I think, is going to have to be on do we have a car each? You know, does every household need a car? How are we going to share cars and things like that? And we've also been looking at our diet. Adrian and I have now eating about half the week. We eat vegetarian, trying to cut down on the amount of meat because of all the methane that's generated as the animals are reared for us to eat. And so we've been trying to do some of those things. I've also been conscious of speaking out and what the need to advocate and petition for things
I think that's one of the most important things that we can do. We've got to be prepared to take action. We've got to be prepared to spend a little bit more on some things. But much more important, no matter how much we do individually, we will never solve the problem with small individual actions. It's down to corporate organisations, it's down to taxation, it's down to government to shift the agenda dramatically. And they're all afraid to do that because they think it's not what people are willing to pay for. And we've got to tell them, we're right behind you. In fact, we're in front of you. Get a move on. And so speaking out, we've just done another petition about to Rishi Sunak ahead of the March statement that he's going to make, encouraging him to focus on better insulation, lower energy consumption, efficiencies, and certainly not open up more extraction of by fracking or by opening up new gas fields or whatever. Absolutely imperative that we leave the hydrocarbons in the ground.
An important step for Museum Street to take. Yeah. Well, thank you, David, for joining me as we recorded this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The gardener saw the potential in the fig tree. Each of us has potential. So let us repent and rise to the life to which we are called, giving thanks for God's mercy and taking up the chances that we are being given to go and bear fruit. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us come now to make our confession as we sing together number 419, Almighty God, we come to make confession. We repent in honesty and sorrow. Forgive me, Lord, and lead me in your way.
Almighty God, we come to make confession. Bitter words that may restricted. Forgive me, Lord, and lead me in your way. Redeeming God, we come to seek forgiveness for Jesus Christ. To set us free, forgive the past and fill us with your Spirit, that we may live to serve you joyfully. Forgive the past and fill us with Spirit, that we may live to serve you joyfully.
Let us pray and bring our concerns now before God. O God of grace, you give us so many chances. Let us not be complacent, but fill us with a sense of urgency. Jolt us into discovering a different reality. Pour manure around our roots and help us to produce some fruit. Help us to take responsibility for the pattern of plundering of the earth's resources without second thought, that began in the Industrial Revolution and still continues unabated. May we begin our journey of taking the small and large actions that can lead to a thriving world. Give us the courage to speak up and to advocate for justice. And this week, we especially lift up the people of Ukraine as we pray now using a prayer from the Methodist Church. Loving God, your Son, Jesus Christ, wept over Jerusalem. Today, we weep over Ukraine. We weep for those uprooted from their homes and lives. We weep for those cowering in basements. We weep for those who've witnessed death and destruction on their streets. We weep for those separated from parents, from children, from spouses and siblings. We are amazed at the resilience of people seeking to comfort those in need. And so we pray for governments opening up borders so that Ukrainians can have safe passage. We pray for churches and individuals providing food, clothing and shelter. We pray for medical workers ensuring that shattered bodies are put back together again. We pray for ordinary Russians demonstrating and voicing their disapproval of the military actions in Ukraine. May the Holy Spirit give us the willpower to turn our tears into action also. May we, through our words, prayers and example, pursue the things that make for a just peace in the world today, and especially in Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And as we pray for Ukraine and give thanks for the progress on a refugee settlement program here in the United Kingdom, fill us with the same compassion for wars in other places and refugees of other nations. We pray for all those who are in danger on the Mediterranean Sea, heading towards Italy, Greece, Spain, Cyprus and Malta, and coming from Tunisia, Egypt, Bangladesh, Syria, Cote d'Ivoire, Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Eritrea, and Guinea. and for the 227 estimated dead and missing in 2022. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And in the stillness now, we share with God our personal concerns. And we lift our prayers to you in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I'd like to thank those who've participated in our worship service today. Robin Pattinson for reading our scripture. And Somerset Mendip Methodist Circuit for our second song, and thank you for them for giving their permission. And to Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for the rest of our music, and to Adrian for our video editing. It would be lovely to know that you've been worshipping with us today. So if you're on the Methodistic website, then just above this video is a sign-in form where you can type your name and location and push the red button, and we'll know that you've been here. As you take your Lenten journey, you're invited to attend the study that complements this sermon series. You can download the free guide at methodistic.org.uk/rising. And you can attend the groups that are being held at several churches, Trinity Felixstowe on Mondays at 2 p.m, Museum Street on Thursdays at 10 a.m, and alternating Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. and Thursday afternoons at 2:30 p.m. at Allen Road. Next week, David Wellborn is our preacher as we mark the fourth Sunday in Lent and look at our fourth big question for Rising to the Call. Can you come back from the bottom? As we consider a modern retelling of the parable of the prodigal son. And with thankful hearts, I encourage you now to offer your time, your talent, and your treasure to God, and to support the work of your local church. And if you'd like to support the circuit, you can donate there online. Let us pray. God of mercy, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing that you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and with open hands. Amen. Let's close today with a song for our healing. Healing for our nations and healing for the whole earth. Redeem us from war and hatred and all that kills abundant living. In our common quest for justice, may we hallow life's brief span. We're going to sing number 696 for the healing of the nations.
Equal. rise and pledge our word. Lead us forward into freedom, from despair your world released, that redeemed from war and hatred, all may come and go in peace. Show us how through care and goodness fear will die and hope increase. All that kills abundant living, let it from the earth be banned. Pride of status, race or schooling, dogmas that obscure your plan. In our common quest for justice, may we hallow life's brief span. You, Creator God, have written your great name on humankind.
Go from here with a contrite heart, ready to bear some fruit, and go trusting in God's mercy, grace, and transformation. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.